Chapter 3. The Vials of the Wrath of God. Armageddon. The time of the end, styled also by Daniel the latter days, is the period of the beast troubled by sword and flame at the hands of the saints. They are to consume and destroy his dominion to the end. Their success, however, in this work of blood will be the occasion of bringing up a power upon them which will overcome them in turn, and by his conquest build up the image of Nebuchadnezzar and bring out again to view the lion, the leopard, and the beast, by which the image will be broken to shivers, and the beasts have their dominion taken away by the Ancient of Days, though their existence will be prolonged for a season and a time, or 1,000 years, during which their destinies will be at the disposal of the inheritors of the kingdom of God. There elapsed 4 years and 8 months between the publication of the Justinian Code and that of the Pandects and Institutes. A second edition of the Code, amended and enlarged, was proclaimed in rather less than 6 years after its first publication. Now it is remarkable that about the same space of 6 years was occupied by the antagonists of the beast in the National Assembly of its principal kingdom in repealing, by its 8,370 decrees, the Justinian Constitution of the Empire, by which the Bishop of Rome became the lion mouth of the dominion and the Roman superstition the state religion of the horns. In 533, the supremacy of Rome in ecclesiastical affairs was recognized by Justinian, and in 1,260 years after, that is, in 1793, the new constitution was adopted and the Roman religion abolished. There are other notable considerations of the same kind, which the reader may observe for himself in studying the history of these periods. Want of space forbids my going more into detail upon this part of the subject. I shall therefore return to a brief outline of what remains concerning the witnesses after their ascension to supremacy in the sight of their enemies. Having responded to the great voice from heaven, saying unto them, Come up hither, they were not long in making their power felt. They converted the States General into the National Assembly on the 17th of June 1789, abolished the feudal system and all privileges, and declared ecclesiastical property to be the property of the nation. In 1790, they continued to shake the monarchy with great violence. They suppressed all religious orders and destroyed 7,000 names of men. That is, completely abolished all titles of nobility, not even sparing the kings. These things were only preliminary to the fall of the throne. The tenth of the city fell, for in 1792 they abolished the monarchy and proclaimed a republic. On the 31st of January 1793, they executed national justice upon Louis XVI, the representative of the king, who in 1685 had massacred them by thousands in cold blood. His queen soon met with the same fate, and to crown all, the worship of reason was substituted for the vile superstition of Rome. The national justice having been carried to this extent, the remnant were affrighted. The reign of terror was established. They sent a revolutionary army over the departments with artillery and the guillotine to take vengeance on their enemies. Priests, aristocrats, and their adherents became bread for the avenger. The dragonnades were retributed by wholesale drownings and pitiless slaughters. They slew 2,160 nobles and priests at Nantes, drowned and shot 2,000 infants, 7,641 women, and 5,300 artisans. Thus the broad way of the great city became a field of blood from one end of the domain to the other. In the hour of their vengeance they did not omit an act of justice to the heirs of their brethren, the murdered Huguenots. They restored to them all their confiscated estates, which remained unsold, and declared all Frenchmen who were not Papists admissible to all offices, civil and military. In 1794 the saints had nearly completed the national justice for the present upon the French horn of the beast for its cruelties upon their brethren and its impiety and licentiousness down to its time. It was truly a great earthquake and had produced terrible devastation. The real character of the events of this epoch has never been appreciated so far as I am informed. They have been viewed too much as the incidents merely of a sanguinary conflict between political factions. viewed in this light, indeed, the actors in the scenes can only be looked upon with horror and detestation. They were exceedingly wicked and depraved men, and so were God's sanctified ones, the unpitying Medes, whom he had prepared to execute vengeance upon Babylon. The wicked are the sword of the Lord, hence it is in this light his saints of the Median character must be regarded. Viewed through a scriptural medium, we see in the democracy of the 18th century the sword of God bathing itself in the heaven and coming down upon the people of his curse to judgment. If the saints to whom the judgment of the beast is committed were men disposed to mercy, they would be unqualified for their work in the absence of the captain of their salvation. The saints of the holy city are not appointed to take vengeance at present. This work is for the wicked, that the wicked may destroy the wicked. But with all their depravity, the saints of the sword were no worse, nor indeed so detestable, as Charles IX, Louis XIV, the popes, the Inquisition, and the savage mercenaries by whom their orders were executed. There has been this redeeming quality in the saints, that they have helped the woman, and in their conflicts protected the remnant of her seed against the beast, while kings, priests, and nobles have soaked the soil of Europe with their blood and celebrated their sufferings with illuminations, gifts, and merrymakings. A most unexpected event marked the end of the second woe, which has hitherto been under consideration. It was revealed to John that the reign of terror would pass away by their giving glory to the God of heaven. The democracy, which had been trained to atheism and blasphemy by the Roman superstition and the philosophers, had decreed that there was no God when they abolished the papal worship. The nation, however, did not maintain this edict for many months, for on the 7th of May 1794, Robespierre obtained a decree from the convention proclaiming the existence of the Supreme Being, and another on the 8th of June decreeing a national festival to his honour, which was celebrated according in Paris with popular demonstrations of joy. Thus ended the sixth trumpet, which was to be quickly succeeded by the seventh and last.